blood running down his chest. He wanted to tell her to stop, as the pain shot all through his shoulder and down his arm. But at the same time, he didn't want her to stop fucking him. Everything about her felt so good. Even when she hurt him, she felt amazing. She leaned up smiling, with droplets of blood around her lips. At first, he was worried this was one of those weird vampire cults, but it was nothing like that. She just wanted to bite him. Her eyes were glazed over in ecstasy as her hips ground against his. His cock growing harder and throbbing deep inside of her. If he could die right there and then and never have to take his cock out of her body, he'd be happy. The thought made him feel horrible, but it was true. Something about her stirred something deep inside him. It wasn't love. He loved Karen. He wanted Melissa. She leaned back as she rolled him and then leaned forward, digging her nails into his chest and scratching all down his chest and down his stomach. He cried out as her claws ripped the flesh away, leaving a bloody trail in their paths. Bruce wasn't sure how he'd explain all this to Karen, but that wasn't the first thing on his mind at the moment. When her scratching reached his stomach, the pain reached an intensity where he couldn't tell where the pain ended and the pleasure of her on his cock began. He cried out as the climax swept over him, and his whole body trembled while his cock blew its load deep inside of her. She moaned and gasped as she climaxed and lay next to him once they both finished.
"You are so amazing,"
he said, looking down at his bloody chest.
"Not sure how I'm going to explain this, though."
"Just wear a shirt for a few days," she said as she cuddled up to him, teasing the tip of his cock. Normally, he'd be too sensitive right after sex, but not with Melissa. He felt like he could go again very soon. It wasn't long before his cock was hard and twitching at her touch. "Wow, looks like someone is wanting some more," she said. "I have an idea. Stand up." He did as he was told, and she went to one of the dressers in the corner and dug some items out. He did exactly as she instructed him, even though some of it made him nervous. She had a variety of straps and other items. The straps attached to a set of hooks at the top of the bedpost. She strapped his hands and feet into the appropriate harnesses and placed another strap around his waist. This suspended him just a couple of feet off the bed and rendered him helpless. Bruce had never been into bondage. Karen had wanted to tie him up once, but he said no. He was afraid of being tied up or blindfolded. The idea of being out of control frightened him under normal circumstances, but there was nothing normal about Melissa. The last item was a square block with a set of screws on each side. She opened the block and adjusted it around his balls, with them cradled in between the blocks.
"What is that?"
Bruce asked.
"You'll see."
She began stroking his cock, massaging his shaft until he was nice and hard, throbbing at her touch. Then she tightened the screws, putting pressure on his balls.
"Oh, hey, wait a minute,"
he cried out.
"What are you doing?"
The pain started as a dull throb, but got more intense with each turn of the screws. Yet she continued stroking him as he stayed hard. He bit his lip as the pain grew more and more intense each time she turned the screws. "See," she said, "feel the pain. Let it wash over you. The pain and pleasure become one before long." He could hardly talk. It hurt so bad. It now felt like someone was punching him in the stomach repeatedly. He wasn't even sure how his cock was staying hard. Looking down, his testicles were flat purple balloons.
"Fuck. Stop. Please. Holy shit, this hurts."
He'd never felt pain like this before. Part of him couldn't believe he'd gone to the trouble of killing a hooker just to get his nuts squished. But here he was.
"You're getting closer,"
she said as she kept stroking his cock, his dick throbbing as she squeezed ahead of it, while the contraption kept squeezing his balls. He was sure at one point he felt something pop, but wasn't sure.
"Jesus, stop it, please,"
he cried out just as she began sucking the tip of his cock, causing him to throb and twitch. He struggled against his restraints as his body went through a variety of sensations, pain like he never felt, but the pleasure that drove him crazy at the same time. She kept sucking while tightening the screws until he couldn't even see straight. His vision blurred as he cried and screamed just before he passed out. When he woke up, once again, he was lying on the floor of the attic. The only scratches that he had were on his hand from the hooker. The bite marks and scratches on his chest and shoulder were gone. He dressed and headed downstairs before Karen got home. His mind couldn't process everything that had happened. This time, There was no doubt. It had all been real. His nuts were still throbbing. They hurt when he pulled his pants up. Slowly, he made his way to the living room and sat on the couch. He just hoped Karen would be too tired for sex. Why had Melissa done that? It didn't matter. Tomorrow, he was going to seal that door shut. He was done cheating and done with Melissa. Chapter 10. Karen was determined to figure out what was going on with Bruce. He hadn't been himself in days. Last night she'd come home, and he had that weird scratch on his arm. He claimed he'd gotten it from a stray cat.
Yeah, I went to leave for the store, and some cat was stuck under the car. I spent 20 minutes trying to lure it out,
he said.
Finally, I just reached in and grabbed it, and it scratched the shit out of me.
She didn't ask him who the woman in the painting had been. Karen wasn't sure why. Something told her he would lie about that, too. So asking him would be pointless. Instead, she called in sick to work. Except she didn't stay home. She left the house and driven a block away. Called in and then parked just down the street. She was determined to figure out what was going on with her husband. Inside the house, Bruce sat there trying to get Melissa out of his head. No way he was going to fuck her again. For one, he'd have to kill again just to see her. No way he was doing that. Second, he wasn't killing again just to have his balls smashed. What the fuck was that about anyway? Except he couldn't stop thinking about her. The pain in his nuts was gone and was replaced by a burning, a throbbing and longing. No matter how he framed it, he wanted her. Sex with her was just too good, despite the cost to see her or the pain she inflicted. She stirred something in him that made him feel more alive than he had ever felt. So alive, it was worth the cost. Any cost. No, he couldn't keep doing this. Karen had been skeptical last night of his stray cat story, explaining the scratches on his hand. He couldn't keep up the facade for much longer. But Melissa, he had to see her. Before he could talk himself out of it, he was grabbing his keys and heading to the car. Karen saw him pull out and followed him to the west side. She watched as a hooker got into his car near the underpass. What? Why? That girl had needle tracks up and down her arms and legs. Probably had AIDS and God knew what else. Why would he be picking up a prostitute? This couldn't be. Her stomach tightened at the sight of the man she loved driving through town with a hooker in his car. In their car. Soon they were back at the house. No, not their home. Of all places, he was bringing her back to the house. He pulled into the garage as she parked and waited. Just breathe. She said to herself, don't make a scene, don't do anything stupid. She waited a few minutes trying to get her bearings, but it wasn't that easy. Her husband was in their fucking home with the hooker. Yeah, fuck this. She pulled into the driveway, got out the car, and stormed inside. She barely made it inside when she heard screaming coming from upstairs. She ran up the stairs and heard it again. This time, it came from the walk-in closet. The closet? She walked inside and saw a small door in the corner. Why had she not noticed that before? How long had Bruce known about it? She opened the door and the screaming grew louder. Except it sounded like a terror scream, not a sex scream. She ran up the small flight of stairs to see Bruce on top of the woman. Except he was holding a knife, stabbing her repeatedly. Bruce! Karen screamed. Bruce looked up at her, but something was off. His eyes were filled with this distant rage. She'd never seen him look that way before. And for the first time since she'd known him, she was afraid.
Karen, you're home.
He said, yes, I called in. What the fuck?
Oh my God, this isn't.
I. Then there was another voice. I knew you'd be back. The woman said, a beautiful woman in a white dress that hugged her body, appeared somehow from nowhere. And walked up to Bruce, taking his hand. A group of small men also appeared and grabbed the dead hooker's body and dragged her away. Karen gasped. The men were about waist high, shirtless and muscular, but had no eyes, just mouths. Karen pressed herself against the wall as she watched this woman kiss her husband.
You should offer her to me,
the woman said, looking at Karen.
Then you can be mine for all time.
I can't. Not yet.
Not yet? What? Karen screamed. And who is this fucking bitch?
I'm sorry, Karen,
he said. I can't explain it. I'll try to later. I have to go for now. They turned and walked toward the wall. The woman turning to wave at Karen as they vanished into the wall. And then Karen was alone. She ran to the wall and felt along, but there was nothing there. No doorway or anything. She walked around where the hooker had been killed, but there was no sign of her body or blood. What the fuck? What the hell just happened? She was so freaked out. She was shaken. Taking out her phone, she pulled up the YouTube and went to the Paranormal Stoners page and sent them an email briefly explaining what had happened. Despite Bruce's teasing, they weren't all a bunch of stoners. There were a couple of them who didn't even use pot. The stoners were just comic relief around the actual ghost hunters. It was moments later when her phone rang. This is Kyle. The voice on the other end said, I got your email.
This sounds intense. You witnessed all of this, you said?
Yes. It happened right in front of me. This weird ghost bitch has my husband. He sacrificed the hooker to her. It's fucking crazy.
All right. I've heard something like this before, but nothing this up close. I'll talk to Janet. Can we stop by tonight?
Yes, please. Whatever the fuck this is lives in my house and has my husband.
Okay, stay calm. We'll be there in a couple of hours. I just had to make sure you weren't some nut. But I could tell by your voice. You're serious. Janet knows all about all kinds of blood and magic shit. Hopefully, we'll have some answers for you by the time she arrives.
I hope so too. Please hurry.
We will. See you soon.
Chapter 11. Bruce hadn't expected Karen to come wandering in. There was no going back now. Part of him wondered if he shouldn't have turned the knife on her. No way she would let him stay with her now. How would he even explain this? Melissa must have sensed his concern. Hey, she said as they walked, stopping them temporarily. Don't worry about her. We're together for now. She ran her hand down the side of his face, which caused any thoughts or worries for Karen to fade away. They walked further into the hall than previously. Bruce wasn't even aware if there was anyone other than them in this place. I think it's time I show you around, she said as they went down a long corridor and into a large chamber. There were dozens of screams. As Bruce looked around to see people either gagging in various sexual acts or torture, he wasn't sure which. In one corner was a man who was hogtied with a ball gag in his mouth. Around him was a group of men urinating on him. One was squatted over him and shitting on his back. The man was trying to scream but unable to through the gag. Just down the way from them was a man hanging upside down, being whipped by a naked woman with a cat o' nine tails. The whip had a series of hooks at each end of each tail. The man's back was raw and bloody. Pure bone and muscle showed through as she lashed him with the tool, tearing away chunks of flesh with each lashing.
What is going on here?
He said.
What the fuck is this?
This is heaven or hell, whichever it is to you.
It looks horrible.
Bruce said as his stomach suddenly felt knotted up. Suddenly, the nut smashing seemed tame compared to what was going on here. There was a shrill scream behind him, where a naked woman was hanging upside down, while a man took a red-hot branding iron and jammed it in between her legs. Her whole body shook as she screamed and cried out.
It looks like fun, doesn't it?
Gorn said from behind them.
Who are these people, and why are they being tortured?
Bruce asked.
Tortured. They are loving this. This is what they want.
Gorn said.
It may be what you want before it's all over with. I don't think so. Maybe I should go now.
Bruce began to walk, but Gorn put up a hand.
Don't be so hasty. Stick around and learn. Melissa has many wonderful things to teach you. Just watch and learn. Who knows? You may learn something about yourself.
Bruce noticed the man branding the woman also had on a leather jacket with a priest collar.
That man, he's dressed like you. He is also one of the clergics.
He likes to get his hands dirty once in a while. The rest, like Melissa, are disciples. Soon, you will be too. Now follow Melissa. I believe she has a special treat for you.
Bruce turned to see she was a little ways ahead of him. He caught up to her and followed her into another room. In there was a naked woman, tied to the bed and blindfolded. She was shaking and whimpering as Bruce looked up at Melissa.
What is this?
He asked. She is my gift to you. You've paid in flesh to see me. So I've given you the gift of flesh. She's yours to do with as you please.
I don't want her. I want you.
And you will have me. She is just a treat. Do with her as you will. She walked to a table in the corner and removed the tablecloth to reveal a wide variety of tools and instruments. There are items here for both pain and pleasure. Something you may not know about the halls of Dolor. Here, there is no death. Only pain or pleasure. No matter what you do to her, she will not die. So no need to hold back.
What? What do you mean she can't die?
Just what I said. I will leave you with her, but the clergics will be watching to learn your pleasure. She kissed him on the cheek and walked out of the room. Bruce looked around confused.
Melissa, wait.
He called out, but she was already through the door. He tried to open it, but it was locked. He walked to the woman and sat next to her on the bed.
Are you okay?
He asked. Yes? She whispered.
What is your name?
Julie.
Okay, Julie. Tell me what you like.
I like whatever you like. I am yours. He was getting annoyed by the theme of this place. But at least they were willing to let him do what he wanted. He removed his clothes and began kissing her body. She whimpered as he had sex with her. He got off, but all she did was lay there.
Didn't you like that?
He asked. It was okay. I'm more into pain. She said.
What kind of pain?
Any kind. He looked at the table and took a rod with a needle on the end. He at first gently poked her and she giggled. He poked her breast and her nipples with it. She seemed to like it, but it was as if the needle tickled her. He put that down and picked up a dildo. This one had small metal spikes on the end, not the little nubs like some had. These were sharp. Bruce touched the tip of one and his finger started bleeding. He touched it to the side of her face, and she smiled. Oh, yeah, she said.
Are you for real? Do you want this thing? Do you have any idea what it is?
I have a few ideas. He took it and used the end to tease her pussy. She moaned as her juices began to flow. As she grew wetter, he slid the toy slowly inside her. She grunted as it went in. Then he began rhythmically pumping her. First, she seemed to like it. But soon, the smile left her face. Oh, she said. That hurts.
I know,
Bruce said as he looked at the blood on it, as he worked it in and out her pussy. Moving it in and out of her, he twisted it, as she cringed with each movement, then began crying out. Jesus Christ! That fucking hurts! Stop it!
You said you like pain.
Not that much!
You said you were mine.
Please? He shoved it in further inside her, causing her to scream hysterically. He pulled it out and saw chunks of flesh and tissue clinging to the barbs. He thrust it in and out of her several more times until his arm got tired. By the time he was done, her voice was hoarse from screaming, and the dildo was bright red and covered in bloody clumps. He tossed it aside and removed her blindfold. He wanted to see her eyes. She looked up at him, her eyes showing pure terror. He'd never felt this way before, but part of him was enjoying it. Maybe it was because she couldn't die. So knowing that whatever he did here basically didn't count.
What's wrong?
He said.
Not enough pain?
Too much. Please stop.
Oh, we're just getting started.
Bruce said as he picked up a scalpel and used it to cut her lips off. He tossed the chunks of skin on the floor as he looked at the girl's permanent smile. Her teeth were perfect and now in plain view.
Don't worry.
he said.
When you wake up from this, you'll be as good as new. Melissa had me all scratched up the other day, but those went away as soon as I woke up in my home. It would just hurt for a while,
he said as she whimpered and cried. He picked up the ice pick and stabbed her breast with it, over and over until they looked like a pair of bloody balloons had been popped. Julie was screaming and crying incoherently now. As Bruce stood over her while looking over his tools, Melissa appeared in the doorway. I see you're enjoying your prize, she said.
Yes, I think so.
Good. Give me her heart.
For real? Won't that kill her?
No death here, remember?
Right.
He looked at the girl whose eyes went wide in terror as she began screaming even louder. He grabbed a large knife, cut a long opening in her stomach, and thrust his hand through it. He felt around her organs, feeling the warm, gooey tissue envelop his arm until he reached her rapidly beating heart. He wrapped his hands around it and ripped it free. Once it was out, he held it out to Melissa, who took it and placed it into a small box. Julie lay there crying and screaming as blood and organs oozed out of the opening Bruce had made.
There,
he said.
You going to send her home now so she can heal?
No, there is no death here, Melissa said. But some things are worse than death.
Chapter 12. Kaya walked around the attic as Janet knelt next to the chest. She found the diary in Melissa's things, along with the article. It didn't take them long to figure out who Melissa was, or what she and her husband had been up to over the years before Melissa's death.
My first question,
Kyle says to Karen,
and I'm not trying to sound like a dick, I'm legit curious here. But you all bought that San Antonio satanic house. What were you all expecting? This place is haunted as hell.
Thanks, Karen said. Bruce never believed in hauntings. I kind of go back and forth. I like your guys' show, but he felt this was such a good deal. No point in letting a bunch of ghost stories scare us away.
This is a great opportunity. You know how many ghost hunters have wanted to investigate here? Holy shit. Our show will get so many views.
Views? Excuse me? I thought you were going to try to find Bruce, my husband. I don't want this all over the internet. What is your fee? I'll fucking pay you, but you're not broadcasting this. I just didn't know who else to call.
Tears ran down her face as she sat along the wall and crossed her legs. I just want my husband back.
Look.
Kyle knelt down, adjusting his ball cap. I'm going to ask you this. It's another stupid question. You say you watched your husband stabbing that hooker. I'll take it you didn't call the police.
No. Some weird little gremlins came and grabbed her body and took her away. What the fuck would I tell the cops?
Okay. We'll circle back to that part. I'm just trying to understand what you want from us and what we are dealing with. You watched your husband pick up a prostitute, bring her back here, and then kill her. Then you saw this dead girl appear and take his hand, and they disappeared into the wall. The whole time they knew you were here. So my dumb question, why would you want his ass back? Maybe he's in hell where he belongs.
She leaned up and slapped him across the face. Janet put down the diary and looked up as Kyle stood.
I guess I deserve that,
he said, rubbing his face. I'm sorry. I love him, and I don't think this was truly him. I saw his face, his eyes. It wasn't him. It's like his body was going through the motions. But she's got some kind of spell on him. The lights were on, but he wasn't home. I want you to bring him home. Can you do that?
Janet walked over with the book and showed it to Kyle.
I've been reading through this, Janet said. They're trying to summon the clerics of Dolor.
Holy shit, Kyle said. They are no joke.
The clerics of what? Karen asked.
Clerics of Dolor. It's Latin for pain. It's a secret order of demons. According to some ancient text, they were kicked out of hell due to their fascination with pain and pleasure. There are only a few texts about them, but stories say whoever summons them and pleases them will receive unspeakable pleasures.
Oh my God, Karen says.
God has nothing to do with any of this, unfortunately,
Janet said.
Except we don't know if these clerics are the ones Bruce ran into. Karen saw Melissa.
She recognized her from the pictures. Yes, but If she is with the clergics, I don't know. This is already sounding like it's way over our heads, Kyle. I'm not sure I want to do this. It's clear Bruce had to sacrifice a person in order to bring her out.
Wait, her diary, Cameron said. He wouldn't have just up and sacrificed something to her. I bet he found that diary first and she came to him. Maybe there's a spell or something he read out loud.
I can look, but you could be right. There's no telling what brought out that first interaction.
In the corner, Kyle, wearing a set of headphones, had out a tablet computer and was walking around scanning the walls and floor with it.
There's something here for sure. I'm getting EVP like crazy.
EVP stood for Electronic Voice Phenomena. Often on ghost hunts, hunters would pick up various sounds and noises. Some of these would be attributed, according to some, as sounds from beyond.
I'll have to analyze it later.
You have an EVP app? Karen asked.
Kind of. I wrote it myself. I could set it to pick up things I want or to edit out background noise. It beats a clumsy recorder. Plus, that much less crap I have to carry around. I've written a few apps I use on investigations. I don't have them for public use, only my personal.
Wow.
He's really good, Janet said. Look, why don't you try to get some rest? And I'll read more through the book. And we can get started here. Maybe we'll turn something up. Maybe not. Either way, you look exhausted. Plus, it would be easier for us to work without you stressing out.
Okay, I'll come get you as soon as we have something.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
What about him? Karen pointed at Kyle. And what I said earlier, no recording, no live video, no YouTube.
We won't film anything. And look, just the two of us. We left all the stoners. What fun would a broadcast be with just two of us anyway?
Good point.
Good. I'll come find you.
Karen got up and headed to her room. As she laid on the bed, she thought of the conversation. It was a lot to take in. She just hoped they could do what they said and find Bruce. She'd move out of this stupid house tomorrow, if it meant getting her husband back. As she drifted off to sleep, all she could think of was Kyle and Janet kicking the demon's ass.
Chapter 13. Bruce and Melissa went into another room and had sex several more times. One thing he realized while in the Hall of Delore was he had infinite stamina. Either that, or Melissa had a way with making him hard moments after sex. Whichever it was, he wasn't complaining. After the third time, she took him by the hand and walked him to the center of the room.
What are we doing?
He asked. Your next test.
Test?
Yes, you passed your first. You gave your gift back to the hall.
Yeah, about that. When we left, she was still breathing awful hard. She's going to get her heart back and go back home, like I did when you scratched me all up, right?
She's going through her own tests. You go through yours.
A set of hooks dropped down from the ceiling and caught onto Bruce's wrists. They pulled his arms up as he cried out. The hooks went clear through the skin and muscle protruding from the other side.
Oh, fuck. What is this?
For your last test, you received the gift. This time, you are the gift.
The door swung open and four muscular naked men came walking in. Melissa looked at them and smiled.
He's all yours, gentlemen.
She said as she walked out of the room.
What's going on? Hey, Melissa, wait.
Bruce screamed as the men each ran his hands up and down his body. One of them took his cock into his hand and began stroking it.
Hey, guys, I'm not a homophobe or anything at all, but I'm straight. I only like girls.
They said nothing as one squeezed his ass, while another felt up his chest from behind.
You hear me? Is there a safe word or something? These hooks are hurting a lot. Fuck.
One of the men walked in front of him. The man had a massive erection. He leaned in and rubbed his hard cock up against Bruce's. Bruce wasn't into sword fights, but his cock grew hard from the stimulation regardless. After a few minutes of the teasing, the man walked behind him and grabbed Bruce by the hips.
Whoa, hey, I'm not.
Bruce grunted as the man shoved his cock into Bruce's asshole. He wasn't at all gentle either, as he thrust and pounded while one of the other men knelt down and sucked Bruce's cock. He closed his eyes and tried to at least imagine Melissa, which did excite him. Nothing could distract him from the violation happening in his anus, as he felt his rectum stretching and tearing with each thrust. In a few minutes, the man grunted as he ejaculated inside of Bruce. Bruce wanted to throw up, as it felt like hot jizz was erupting into his stomach. The feeling barely subsided before Bruce felt the crack of a whip at his back. He screamed as the hooks of the cattle nine tails dug into his skin and ripped away. The other three men each walked up to a table and picked up their own whips and lashed at him. Bruce wanted to cover his face as the sharp hooks and razors caught onto him and tore away his flesh. Chunks of meat and skin ripped away from his forehead, face, back, and buttocks, and they whipped and lashed every part of his body. Bruce screamed and cried out as his body twitched and jerked, but he was defenseless against their barrage. When they finished, one of them held up a mirror so he can see himself. His whole body was shredded to ribbons. He could see the bones of his ribcage and the raw thigh muscles showing through. His face looked like a red skull from all the rips and tears of his skin.
"Why are you doing this?"
he asked, but none of them would speak. One of them went back to sucking his dick. He was amazed and horrified he had gotten hard again, but it was short-lived. The man stepped away as another took a long knife and chopped his penis off. Bruce cried out, screaming as blood sprayed from his growing stump in a fountain. One of the men knelt down and opened his mouth, drinking in the fresh blood as another rubbed it all over his body. They undid the hooks and threw him onto the bed. His legs were so weak, he was unable to move. Bruce figured he should be passing out soon from the blood loss, but remembered what Melissa had said. In the hall, there was no death, only pain. Injuries that would normally kill a person anywhere else only made you hurt here, and hurt a lot. There was no passing out, no death, no reprieve, only suffering. On the bed, they jammed knives into his eye sockets. He felt his eyeballs each pop, and the warm, milky fluid ran down his face as they dug the tissue out of his sockets. Bruce couldn't see what they were doing, but felt two penises thrusting into his eye sockets moments later. They thrust so hard, they struck the front of his brain. The pain was intense. Bruce had never been shot, but he imagined this was what being shot in the head felt like. His mind spun from the pain, and his dark world exploded as he was being double skull-fucked. It went on and on until both cocks blew their loads inside his head. Their jizz ran out of his eye sockets and down his face, mixing with his tears as he began sobbing.
"Please,"
he said.
"No more, please."
"We are done with this part of the test," Melissa said from the back of the room.
"Melissa, thank God. Please help me. No more of this."
She walked over and put a hand over his face. When she took her hand away, he could see again.
"Thank you. Thank you."
He looked around and the four men were gone, but Gorn was standing behind her. "Gorn was pleased with how you took the pain," she said. "So? He's moving you to the next phase."
"What is the next phase?"
"Jesus Christ. After what he'd just gone through, what the fuck could be next?" "The wall of pain," she said. "Or you can go back to your home. Your time here is done. So you have to pay again in flesh, this time in yours. Do you go home and face your wife, or go through the wall of pain and its rewards?"
"Are you the reward?"
"Possibly," she said. He missed his wife. He still loved Karen, but Melissa made him feel so incredible. Plus, the way he left Karen the last time, he wasn't ready to face her just yet. Oddly, whatever this wall of pain consisted of, facing it sounded easier than facing the hurt and disappointment in his wife.
"Wall of pain,"
he said.
"I'll take the pain."
Melissa smiled and looked at Gorn, who also smiled. "Good," she said. "I knew you'd choose wisely." Chapter 14. Karen couldn't sleep. She dozed off for a little while, but after a few hours, she went up to the attic to check on the ghost hunters. Janet was reading through the diary while Kyle was listening to his EVPs. Any luck? Karen asked.
These EVPs are insane. I'm enhancing the sound. I could literally hear people screaming. I could swear I heard one person laughing manically. It's fucking intense.
That's great, but what about my husband?
No luck so far, Janet said. It's going to take some time, I'm afraid.
Can I see that? Karen asked as Janet handed her the diary. Karen took the book and sat down, flipping through it. She read through page after page of wild sex acts, pseudo-torture tactics, and clergics of dolor. Except there were no hints as to how to summon them, or what Bruce had done to summon Melissa's ghost. After a few hours, frustration built inside Karen. She stood and held up the diary. Fuck this stupid ghost bitch, she said as she ripped the page out and tossed it onto the floor.
Karen, no! We may need that,
Janet screamed.
For what?
It's not worth a shit, she said as she tore more pages free.
Karen,
Janet said.
Even if it does work, it's dangerous to anger the spirits.
Anger the spirits? What does that even mean?
I've been on some investigations where you got one guy who goes in and provokes the spirits. They say they are fake. They damage the spirits' property and it angers them. It ends up having horrific consequences sometimes. You need to stop.
What's she gonna do? Possess me? Karen said as she ripped out more pages. After the third handful, she saw Melissa standing off to her left.
You got my attention,
Melissa said. She looked just like she had earlier when she'd seen her. Kyle and Janet both took a step back as Kyle began snapping photos.
Oh my God,
Janet said as Kyle quietly took pictures until his tablet suddenly exploded in his hand. Where is my husband, you bitch?
He's happy where he is, she said. He made his choice. You must really be a buzzkill with what he's gone through just to be with me.
I want to see him.
Sure. You can earn your way to him, just like he's earning his way to me.
What do you mean, earn?
It's a yes or no question. Answer or I leave and never come back.
What do I have to do?
Yes or no. I'm not asking again.
Fine. Yes.
Good. Follow me,
Melissa said as she began walking.
What about us? We want to see,
Janet said.
Good. You come along too. I've got something special for you.
The four of them walked with Melissa until they were in a long hallway with a thick red carpet. Four muscular, naked men came out of one of the rooms and grabbed Karen by the arms.
What the fuck? What is going on?
Karen screamed.
Your first test, Melissa said. These men will escort you through your trials. You are in the Hall of Dolor. Here, there is no death. Push through the trials, and you will be reunited with your husband. Give up, and you will suffer permanently. It's up to you.
The men dragged her into a room and ripped her clothes off. She kicked and struggled against them, but it was no use. As one man held her arms behind her back, while the others grabbed each limb and strapped her to the bed. Once she was strapped down, they took turns raping her. Their penises were all huge. They stretched her out with each thrust, tearing at her vagina as each ejaculated inside of her. The pain was intense, but nothing compared to what was about to come. One picked up a large knife with a circular hole cut in the blade. Its bottom edge looked wickedly sharp, and the top had an evil-looking hook-like blade near the tip. He grabbed her by the hair and cut along her neck. She felt blood running down her throat, and at first she thought he was cutting her throat. Then he held a chunk of her flesh in front of her face and tossed it aside. He took the knife and cut again and again. He was peeling the flesh off her face, piece by piece. She screamed as she felt the skin from her face being ripped away. After a while of his working, he held up a mirror. All she could see was a red hole where her face used to be. Karen screamed at the gruesome sight. Melissa said there was no death here. Did this mean she would be permanently disfigured like this? Even if Bruce did find her, would he want her with no face? The man handed the knife to one of the other men who began peeling the skin from her arms and chest. This went on for hours. They passed the knife around. ignoring Karen's screams and cries to stop until she was completely skinned. She shivered, as it was so much colder without her flesh to keep her warm. One of the men turned a crank that lifted her up by the arms from the bed until she was suspended by straps in the center of the room, just dangling there. Her red, skinless body dripped blood as Melissa appeared in the room again moments later.
"I see you're enjoying the pain," she said.
"Fuck you," Karen cried out as she shivered and trembled.
"We will replace your skin if you endure. There is more to come. Do you want more, or do you give up? If you give up, there will be no more suffering, but you will hang there skinless for eternity."
"Let's fucking do this," Karen said.
"Good. You may be tougher than I thought."
Melissa vanished again as one of the men approached her with a long, burning torch. He knelt down and thrust the torch between her legs. To her dismay, the lack of oxygen inside her pussy didn't put the fire out. It just burnt as she felt like her body was on fire from the inside. He pulled and twisted the torch, working it in and out of her as she shook and screamed. Out of the corner of her eye, she saw another man approaching. This one was carrying a handheld power sander. The man looked at her and smiled as Karen screamed. Chapter 15. Melissa stood with Gorn, looking at Janet and Kyle. Gorn was smiling as he looked the couple over.
"So, you two are ghost hunters?"
he asked.
"Tell me, have you caught any?"
It doesn't work like that," Kyle said. "We just look for proof or evidence."
"That is fascinating. I have some friends who like to hunt also."
From behind him emerged two large men wearing nothing but tight, shiny leather pants. Each man only had one large eye at the center of their head, no nose, and a perfectly round mouth filled with razor-sharp teeth.
"These are a couple of fellow clergics, Sheen and Draven. More like clergics in training, which is why they don't have their collars yet. They are also skilled hunters."
Behind them, Kyle and Janet heard a wail of screaming and crying. They turned to see a maze made up of bodies impaled on spikes. Some were just severed heads, but they were still conscious. Others were full bodies impaled through the groin or torso.
"Draven and Sheen will hunt you through the maze. You better hope they don't catch you. I should probably tell you, there is no death here. Only pain. If you make it out the other side, we'll return you to your world unharmed. If you get caught by the hunters, let's just say you'll become a permanent fixture here. You get a head start."
"Wait a minute," Janet said. "We didn't mean any harm. We were just trying."
"Your time is running out before I unleash the hunters,"
Gorn said.
"At this rate, it won't be much sport for them."
"Shut up," Kyle said, taking her hand. "Let's go." He grabbed her as they started through the maze. They ran by one severed head on a spike, which began laughing at them.
"Run, run away," it said. "Try not to lose your head."
Blood dripped from the bodies as they worked their way around. They weaved through the various lanes, finding a dead end at one point and having to double back.
"Fuck, this sucks," Kyle said. "I think we should split up. At least one of us can make it out of here. If we both get cornered, it'll be all over. No point in both of us getting stuck."
"We should have never taken this job," Janet said.
"Yeah, no time for that now. You go that way. I'll go back here," Kyle said as he turned to his right.
Kyle thought about squeezing through some of the bodies, but they were too close together. There was no way through them. When he tried, one impaled man grabbed him and tried to bite his shoulder. Who are these people? Were they people like Bruce who flew too close to the sun and ended up here? Or were they people like him who were challenged to go through this maze and hadn't made it? Kyle didn't want to find out. He stood looking around as one old woman began crackling at him from the long spike coming out the top of her head.
"Where are you going, boy? You lost?"
she said.
"I'm trying to find my way out of here. You know the way?"
"There's only one way, fool.
On a spike."
That's no help. You think anyone has helped me? How long have you been here? What year is it? In our world, it's 2017. They took me in 1983. There is no time here. No death. Only pain, boy. You'll see. He turned and tried to run away, not wanting to hear any more doom and gloom from the damned woman. But she kept yelling. You'll see, she said. Then, hey, hunters, he's over here, this way. That fucking bitch. He ran and turned the corner, only to find another dead end. He spun around to find one of the hunters right behind him. He let out a yelp as he tried to turn, but the hunter was carrying a whip. Kyle ran almost 10 feet away, but the hunter cracked the whip, wrapping it around his ankles and giving it a tug. Kyle fell on his face trying to pull himself away, but it was no use. The whip had him secured. The hunter stood over him and hogtied him, and then picked him up like a suitcase, carrying him through the maze. The walls of bodies cheered at his capture. Yay! They cried out. New flesh! We got another one! Put him next to me! Impale his head! Kyle tried to struggle, but all that did was make the ropes tighter. Soon they were out of the maze and in an empty room. Shortly after he was brought in, the other hunter arrived carrying Janet. Janet was screaming hysterically. Janet, no! Please let her go! Please, take me instead! Kyle said. Janet! Janet! Look at me! Look at me! I'll get us out of this. It will be okay. He tried to comfort her. Janet only screamed and said something about the maze trying to eat her. They hadn't even been in there that long, but she lost her mind. Her eyes were glazed over, and any attempts Kyle made to calm her fell on deaf ears. In fact, she didn't even hear anything he said. All she could do was scream. Kyle understood how she felt. The maze was maddening. Part of him envied her. Whatever was about to happen, he wished his mind would check out as well. He was going to be aware of everything. She was the lucky one.
Why?
She asked.
We have both of you.
Using a large knife, Draven cut both of their clothes off. And with them still hogtied, the two hunters took turns violating the couple. They left no hole untouched. They didn't feel it was fair that Janet had an extra hole for them to abuse. So they cut one into Kyle's stomach and fucked that one repeatedly. Both were crying and throwing up through the abuse when Sheen brought in two crosses. They untied them both. Kyle began to struggle, but Draven punched him so hard in the nose, it almost knocked him unconscious. They dragged both their bodies to the crosses and drove steel spikes through their forearms into the wood. They both cried out as the spikes ripped through their flesh, muscle, tissue, and bone. Then they drove a single spike through both feet and dragged the crosses into the hall. Pain shot through both of their bodies. The spikes throbbed while the strains of their muscles to support their weight took its toll. Kyle thought they'd been added to the maze. But instead, they were placed into a dark area. It was pitch black. Kyle couldn't see anything. Janet! Kyle called out. I'm sorry I got you into this. Are we going to die? She asked. I hope so. I'm not sure how much of this I could take. He used his nailed feet to push himself up just to breathe. Doing so sent white hot pain throughout his body. Fuck! That hurts! Soon, something landed on his shoulder. It was some kind of crow. He could see its shadow in the dark. Another landed on his other arm. What's going on? Janet asked. What are these things? Crows, he said. Big ones. Soon, the crow pecked at his forehead. He tried to turn away, but then the other one pecked at him. Then pecked at his ear. Then his nose. Then his eyes. Soon, more crows landed. Within moments, there were hundreds of large birds on top of them feeding on their flesh and faces. Their screams could barely be heard over the sound of the birds' feeding frenzy. Chapter 16. The four men dragged Bruce from one room into another. Most of his wounds had healed, but he was still too weak to walk. They strapped him to a set of chains along one wall as another wall panel dropped down from the ceiling. This is the wall of pain. It will hurt like nothing you ever thought possible. Your wounds will require healing when you are done. Very few have made it through this. Most cry to quit halfway through, but doing so leaves you in that state forever.
Melissa warned. You go all the way through. You will go through suffering like you never thought possible. But you will be healed for your next test.
Is that what you people do?
Bruce asked.
You just heal us up and tear us apart again?
It's all part of the pain, Melissa said. She stepped away from the panel, which was filled with holes that had huge barbs sticking out from them. It looked to Bruce like a giant cheese grater. The panel moved up and down as it moved in on Bruce.
Oh, God. Melissa, please don't make me do this.
I'm sorry, she said. It will all be worth it in the end.
The panel thrashed up and down at him, growing closer and closer until he felt the first barbs on his skin along his stomach, then on his shoulders and face as it ripped the flesh free. With each movement, the panel went up and down and then into circular motion over and over Bruce's body as his screams filled the hall. After each movement, more of him tore away. Then the machine would stop for several minutes, just leaving him suspended there before it would start up again and continue tearing him apart, one tiny piece at a time.
Oh, God, no. Buck!
He screamed as clumps of him fell through the other sides of the holes. The barbs grind down through the muscle, tissue, and even tore through his bones. Bruce wasn't sure, but he managed to stay conscious through the entire ordeal. The whole process took hours, maybe even a few days. Bruce thought it would never end, but finally it did. Like Melissa had said, there was no death, only pain. No matter what they did to him, there was no relief and no reprieve, only suffering. At some point, Bruce felt himself ooze through and fall out on the other side, except he couldn't move. He was able to look to the side and see a finger lying nearby and several other clumps of himself.
What's going on?
He asked.
Why can't I move?
His whole body hurt as he lies there, stinging pain from all over. He could even see chunks of his own penis lying just inches away. Gorn walked in with Melissa as they looked down at him.
You need to pull yourself together,
Gorn said before laughing.
What's he talking about? What does he mean?
Bruce asked.
The wall of pain. It tore you to pieces. You're lying on the ground in at least 100 pieces. Just chunks of blood and flesh.
What? Why? I can't move. Why am I still alive?
You know why. Don't worry. You passed. Most give up as soon as it starts tearing at them. You somehow made it through the whole thing.
A truly noble effort,
Gorn said.
You are proving your love for Melissa. Soon, she will be yours.
Gorn reached down and picked up several pieces of Bruce and placed them in his mouth.
What are you doing?
Bruce asked.
Why, I'm seeing how you taste.
Gorn answered before eating another piece. And another. He picked up pieces of Bruce's face and ingested it. Bruce felt himself going into a dark place and getting a face full of saliva. He held his breath as it washed over him while he slid down Gorn's throat. Bruce watched helplessly as he landed into his own mess, in Gorn's stomach, feeling the acid burning his flesh, all over churning around and around. More clumps rained down on him before he felt himself going through his stomach and weaving through Gorn's intestines. Bruce tried to scream, but took in a mouthful of the acid that silenced him immediately. Things went dark before he felt himself being squeezed into a tight opening. It tightened around him, almost feeling like he was going to burst, until the pressure let up, and he fell out onto the floor once again. Looking up, he'd fallen out of Gorn's ass as more chunks of himself were coming out also. Gorn had literally eaten him and then shit him back out. What in the fuck? Once he finished, Gorn turned and pulled his pants back up and smiled.
What? Even I have to eat and shit. When I want to, that is. Ha ha ha. Okay. Enough playing. Time to get you ready for the next set of trials.
Gorn bent down and began piecing him back together. Soon he could feel his arms and legs again as the pain subsided. The burning acidy feeling had gone away, and before long, Bruce was sitting upright on the floor looking around.
There, you're as good as new,
Gorn said.
I want to go home. I want to see my wife.
Oh, we can send you home. But seeing your wife there may be tricky.
What? What have you done?
Me? I haven't done anything. She went and hired some ghost hunters to try and find you. She really loves you, that one. Good thing you love Melissa. You have no use for a weakling like Karen. Either way, she's here now. She's finding her way to you in her own set of trials. Who knows? Maybe you'll find each other.
Just let her go. She has nothing to do with this. You can even keep me here. Keep putting me through these forever if you want. Just let her go.
Well, that's very touching. But not how it works here. She has to go through her own suffering to find her pleasure. Speaking of pleasure, we thought you can use a break.
Gorn pointed behind Bruce and Melissa was behind him on a bed.
Do you want to spend some time with me, lover?
Yes,
he said immediately, forgetting about his wife. He walked over as Melissa stood and dropped her white dress to the floor. He wrapped his arms around her and began kissing her as she massaged his cock. She kissed his body up and down, and he kissed her as if she were the last woman he'd ever touch again. For all he knew, she was. After what he'd been through, her touch felt 1,000 times better than it had previously. They had sex 2 in a row, without him so much as taking a breather, before he lay next to her holding her. She stood and took him by the hand.
Okay, she said. I'm afraid the break is over. But now, you know what you have to look forward to.
She walked him into another room. There was a group of men standing in a circle, all of them naked, and stroking their cocks onto a group of women, who were going around the circle blowing them, while some were being fucked from behind. Bruce wasn't sure what was happening here, but he wasn't sure he wanted to be a part of it.
Get in the center of the circle, Melissa said, and get on your knees.
Chapter